Okay, Creation Response Team, are we ready for this interview?
Yeah!
All right, great. There's quite a few major news agencies here, waiting for us to reveal our photographs. Also, a reporter from DNN News said she'd meet us here.
And now the world can see firsthand that the creature of Cape Cod is really just a submarine.
Katie, do you have that memory card?
Right here, Dad. I'm glad Eddie was able to repair the disc that has the pictures of the secret sub-base.
Oh, look, there are the news vans.
Oh, yeah.
Now remember, team, our goal here is to continue to dispel rumors that this is an alien or some sort of sea monster.
That's right.
Yeah. Hello, I'm Belinda Waters with DNN News. Are you the Creation Response Team?
Well, yes, we are.
That's us.
Wonderful. We'll begin broadcasting live in about 15 minutes. Until then, we can wait right here in the guest trailer. Please make yourselves at home.
Well, thank you very much.
Wow, this is nice.
Donuts?
Ryan, only one.
Hey, the door just locked.
We're moving.
Everybody, hang on.
What is going on?
Where's the Creation Response Team being taken? Who's behind the mysterious submarine? To find out, join the adventure in Jonathan Park and the Journey to 1,000 Fathoms.
Dad, where do you suppose they're taking us?
I wish I knew.
We're stopping.
Creation Response Team, in a moment the doors will open. As you exit the trailer, walk toward the large door ahead.
I guess we don't have much of a choice.
It looks like some kind of a parking structure.
Proceed through the door.
All right, everybody. Just be very careful.
Wow.
Whoa.
Wow.
Dad, what are we doing here?
I wish I knew.
We're in some sort of giant mansion.
It looks like we're in an underwater mansion with glass walls.
I've never seen such a vast array of sea creatures. Nor an aquarium this size in someone's home.
Please, feel free to make yourselves at home on the couches in front of the tanks.
Hey, look over there. Is that an old-fashioned diving suit?
And in the corner's an old diving bell. I guess we're just gonna have to wait to see what happens next.
Wow, look at the paintings on the walls. Is that the embarkation of the pilgrims?
Jonathan, you're right.
And look at this collection of books. Here's A Plymouth Plantation, written by William Bradford. A model of the Mayflower.
What in the world's that creature?
Ryan, I believe this is a type of swimming sea cucumber.
Talk about aliens from the sea. How do you even describe it?
It's like a pinkish, transparent plastic balloon.
Around the top is a transparent umbrella that it flaps up and down to swim.
Oh, and look, it has more fins at the bottom.
Mm-hmm. Well, they look like frills on a skirt.
Yes, but the most bizarre thing is that tan mass, kind of like a thick flower, winding right through the middle of the see-through balloon.
Nice try, girls. That tan mass running through the center is actually called the viscera, which is the creature's intestines.
Kendall, I'm familiar with sea cucumbers, but this one is so completely different.
Yes, most sea cucumbers use tentacles to walk along as they collect food from the seafloor. Instead, this one has fins, which allows it to swim in search of food.
Interesting.
Now, when a predator threatens this swimming cucumber, it lights up using bioluminescence, which is the creature's ability to create light through a chemical reaction. If the predator keeps at it, then the cucumber releases some of its outer tissue, which then clings to the attacker, causing it to glow. Now the hunter becomes the hunted as it becomes visible to bigger animals. And during all the confusion, the swimming sea cucumber just makes its exit.
What an interesting design by our creator.
Absolutely. Kendall, was that part of the Census of Marine Life?
As a matter of fact, it was. The Woods Hole Oceanographic Institute made the discovery of this type of swimming sea cucumber in 2007.
Kendall, remember how Christian and his dad encouraged us to get involved in the Census of Marine Life? I think we should consider it.
I think it's a wonderful idea.
Whoa.
And the timing couldn't be better.
Whoa.
Who said that?
I did. My name's DeMarcus. Alexander DeMarcus. And this is my home. Please forgive the unusual entrance, but I've always enjoyed surprises.
Mr. DeMarcus, what's going on here?
Quite simply, Dr. Park, while you were on No Man's Island, you stumbled across the hiding place of the Manta.
The Manta? You mean the submarine?
Oh, she's much more than just a submarine, Mr. Brennan. She's a technological advancement far beyond your wildest dream.
What's so special about a submarine?
Ryan, this submarine's able to travel over 1 mile deep at speeds of over 70 knots. And it has no external moving parts.
Wow. Mr. DeMarcus? How do you know our names?
Oh, you'd be surprised at how much I know. I've closely followed your exploits during the Polar Star scavenger hunt.
You're the head of the Ex Nihilo Foundation, right?
A point for your team, Dr. Park.
Mm-hmm. So, why did you kidnap us from the interview?
Because you were about to show the whole world my EX-46 manta ray and its secret hiding place.
Why the secrecy?
Please forgive the unusual way I had to bring you here, but I want to extend a challenge.
In what way, Mr. DeMarcus?
I was quite surprised to hear what you were just speaking of. The timing's quite providential, I believe. I'm using my submarine to assist in the census of marine life, with one slight difference from the others. I am also compiling a database of marine life for the Ex Nihilo Foundation from a decidedly creationist perspective.
That is interesting timing.
I admire the way you handle yourselves and work together as a family. That's why I want you to be the ones to help me catalog and expose my discoveries to the world.
What do you mean by catalog and expose your discoveries?
I'd like you to come with me on the Manta and take part in collecting some of the most exotic marine life on Earth, such as you see before you in my aquariums, all for the glory of our Creator God.
I'm glad to hear you say that, because we believe in the authority of the Bible and a young Earth view of God's creation. Do you?
Step into my library, and I'll let you decide for yourself.
Wow, these bookshelves must be 3 stories high.
In this room, I have over 72,000 volumes. But the apex of my collection are in these glass cases along the wall.
Whoa.
Oh, wow. A copy of the Geneva Bible from 1560? Is this an original?
Yes, it is, Mrs. Brennan. The same Bible the pilgrims carried on the Mayflower.
It's amazing.
My ancestors were on the Mayflower, and I've always shared a deep passion for the Word of God and my heritage.
I'm surprised you don't have the Dead Sea Scrolls in here.
Oh, believe me, I tried. But they wouldn't give me an export permit.
Mr. DeMarcus, we're going to need some time to think and pray about your offer.
Of course, Dr. Park. But allow me to give you more food for thought. My next test of the Manta will be to make a voyage to the Loki's Castle Formation.
The thermal vents off Greenland?
Yes, I intend to take the Manta down beyond 1,000 fathoms and catalog the creatures living there.
Oh, that's amazing!
I don't know what to say.
Donald, can you come here? Please think it over. However, I must set out in no more than 3 days' time. Now, your journey out will be much more dignified than your journey in.
Yes, Mr. DeMarcus?
Donald, I'd like you to show these kind people out. There's a van waiting to take you back to your hotel.
Thank you.
But please, no publicity on the Manta. Godspeed to you all.
Goodbye.
Thanks a lot.
Goodbye. All right, Hunter, you can come in now.
Mr. DeMarcus, the lab just phoned. Unfortunately, Dr. Berger's still in a coma.
And the file?
Still missing.
Failure is not an option, Mr. Neufeld, and we will continue ahead.
Hello?
Hi. Is this Derek Dilt?
Yes, who's this?
That's not important right now, but you'll want to talk to me.
Oh, really? Why?
Does the name Professor Klaus Berger mean anything to you?
It might.
Well, I recently obtained a large amount of highly classified information from Dr. Berger, which I'd be willing to share for a reasonable price.
You begin to interest me. Slightly.
Let's not be coy, Mr. Diltz. We both know that you can't succeed without Berger's information.
Okay, where do I meet you?
Listen carefully. I don't want anyone else to know about this. I'll meet you in this little spot.
And in other news, the Religious Center for Science and History has decided to drop any references to Jesus, the Bible, and young Earth creation in their official mission statement. Alexander DeMarcus, billionaire and longtime donor, condemned RCSH's decision this morning and is planning to pull his support.
I find it extremely regrettable that this organization has bowed under the pressure of those who deny the self-evident truth of God's word.
That video clip came from 5 years ago. Mr. DeMarcus became unpopular with mainstream scientists after so boldly proclaiming his Christian views.
Mr. Michaels, Christian and his son are here to see you.
Send them in.
Also, his father, who's not a believer, has refused to communicate with him ever since.
Hello.
Come on in.
We were excited when Mr. Michaels contacted us about coming back. He said you were considering doing more with the census of marine life.
I guess we're seeing just how important it is to show the design of all these incredible creatures.
That's great. Look, I brought you another example to get you excited about it.
Wow, what's that?
It's a picture of a stoplight loose jaw. It was one of the creatures they found during the census.
That's one big-mouthed fish.
His jaw comprises about 25% of his entire length.
He's also bioluminescent. For example, his sides and underbelly have lots of blue photospheres. Near his eye are more tiny emitters. Below the eye, he has a large red photophore. Behind the red light is a green emitter.
So that's why they call him the stoplight loose jaw.
I like this idea more and more. And to be honest, we were just discussing an upcoming opportunity for an ocean expedition.
Really? Where?
The team may be heading to the Low Keys Castle, a black smoker up towards Greenland.
Hey, what if the new marine displays include an actual black smoker?
It's a great idea, but I don't think we have the resources right now to build a smoker display.
Oh, we can fix that. We'd be more than happy to help provide the funds you need.
Wow! Christian, what an amazing offer. Henry, I think this is a fantastic opportunity to give glory to the Lord and show God's incredible design in the ocean.
Well, Christian, let me just check with Mr. DeMarcus, and I'll see if we can all work together to put a real black smoker on display right here at the museum.
Yeah,
All right, great.
I know he will be. All right, see you tomorrow.
Who was that, Mom?
Dr. Park. He said if you're interested, he'd like to have you come along with his family on their next mission. I already said yes.
All right!
I can see that you've been enjoying your time with them. Oh, no. Rex got out again. Oh, I don't know what I'm going to do with that dog. I'll be back in a minute.
Hello, Morgan Residence. Kirk speaking.
It's me. I need you to do something for me.
All right. What do you want me to do?
I want you to download all the instructions I send you by email. The audio file will be attached. Got it?
Yeah, but what instructions?
Well, the creation response team's going on a little submarine trip.
How did you know that?
I know a lot of things, Kirk. That's my business. Now, when you get on board the Manta, I want you to make a few adjustments.
Well, creation response team, this is going to be another exciting adventure.
Yeah, Dad.
You bet, Dad. I can't wait to see all the things God has in store for us.
Me too.
There, just ahead on the east side of the Cape Cod Canal, is where XMEAL headquarters is located.
Wow. That's amazing.
Yeah. That's really...
Look right there.
Look at all the buildings.
That low structure to the right is the Scientific Research Center. That three-story building there is the administrative offices.
How many people work here?
Over 200. Several PhD scientists, crew mechanics, and some marine biologists. Okay, we're coming in for a landing.
And this is the testing bay where we test and build the components for the submarine. Control panels, diving suits, etc.
Wow.
Alexander, I had no idea how large your organization was.
Come this way, and I'll take you down in the elevator.
Oh, really? Right.
Watch your step, everyone.
I am going now.
Last night, we moved the sub here to the underground dock. The sea cave under No Man's Island is where we keep the Manta hidden. And here we are.
My goodness, it's amazing.
Wow.
Wow.
Look at
that. The submarine really does look like a manta ray.
I just copied God's design.
It's so futuristic.
Mr. DeMarcus, you said it has no external moving parts. How does it work?
Well, Mr. Brennan, anyone who's played with magnets knows that opposite poles attract, and like poles repel each other.
Like if you set a magnet on the table and then push one magnet forward by bringing the other toward it.
Right, Jonathan. The electromagnetic submarine works on the same principle.
Oh, really?
Its generators send current through a large wire grid running bow to stern on the skin of the hull, setting up a magnetic field in the surrounding seawater. Then we send electric current through the salty water between two electrodes, one on each side of the sub.
And that creates two magnetic fields that are opposing one another, driving the sub forward.
Yes.
That explains the sounds people heard in Cape Cod.
Yes, that and the green glow produced by the electromagnetic grid.
Oh, that also explains the burn marks on the basking shark.
Oh.
Yes.
Sadly, the outside electrical grid probably hit it as we sped by. Well, Creation Response Team, we know that the future doesn't belong to the faint-hearted. It belongs to the brave. So come aboard the Manta and step into the future. Set course for 080. Speed half ahead.
080. Speed half ahead, sir.
Continue present course until we reach 4453 degrees north by 4210 degrees west. Then head due north at three-quarter speed.
Aye, sir.
CRT, behold the bridge of the Manta Ray, the world's most technologically advanced inner spaceship.
Inner space?
Yes, Mrs. Brennan. Just as men are attempting to explore outer space in their rockets, now we Aquanauts shall explore the vast reaches of inner space, the world beneath the sea.
That's amazing. Oh, yes. I've never seen anything like this. It looks more like a spaceship than a submarine.
Yes, Jonathan. The ship consists of three decks. This is the uppermost, which I call the command deck. This console to the right is for the helmsman who steers the ship. The console to the left is for the navigator, Mr. Bowditch, who plots our course. He's in constant communication with global positioning satellites.
The bridge is split level, so what's all that below?
Well, just over the railing down below us is the rest of the command crew. There's the sonar listening station, the engineering console, communication center, and so on. Above us is a small observation deck. It has leather couches for my guests to watch the wonders of the sea. I suggest we move there.
That sounds good.
What a stunning view of the ocean. This is a huge front window.
That front window, Mrs. Park, is a foot thick and can withstand the pressures of the deep sea.
Wow.
It appears that we are slowing. Let me check the situation. Mr. Bowditch, this is the captain. Have I given an order to stop for some reason?
No, sir, but I think you'll be pleasantly surprised. Look dead ahead.
It's some sort of creature right there in the lower left of the window.
It's called a Dumbo octopod. It's one of the creatures that's been cataloged during the census.
It's like a semi-transparent octopus. Oh, but look at the amazing webbing between the arms. Oh, and it's got those big flaps. Right about where you'd expect to see ears.
I guess that's where it gets its name. It looks like big ears, like Dumbo the elephant.
Shall we deploy the slurp gun?
Please do.
Slurp gun? What's that?
It's a giant tube that sucks a specimen right into a small holding tank.
Oh, look out the window! Here comes the slurp gun!
Now, we know of at least three different ways these creatures move. They can pulse their arms, or flap their ear-like structures, and use their siphon.
What's a siphon?
Well, the siphon's a little tube that protrudes out of the octopus's head. It acts as a pump. It washes water over the creature's gills to provide oxygen. It's also the place where octopi normally release ink. And finally, in the case of a Dumbo, it can be used as a water jet to move the octopus through the water.
Well, there it goes! They've got him!
Wow.
We've secured the specimen, and we'll transfer him to the onboard holding aquarium.
Thank you, Hunter.
Speaking of octopi in general, you know one of their best-known traits is that they can change their mood with their color.
Yes! There's red, brown, black, blue, and yellow pouches of pigment in their skin cells.
Now, these cells have an amazing ability to reflect just about any color of light. These special proteins created by God are inspiring lots of new technology by man.
Okay, Mr. Bowditch, let's get back underway.
Yes, sir, back underway.
You know, you must need a tremendous power supply to run all this. What do you use?
Dr. Park, I'm glad you asked. Let's go aft and let me show you.
All right.
This way, please.
Hello, Mrs. Marcus.
Creation Response Team, this is Stan Shellhammer, head of ship security.
Hey, Stan.
Hello.
How you do?
Behind this door is the heart of the Manta, the engine room. Behold.
Whoa, it's
Wow. Look at all the pipes and dials. It looks like some kind of refinery.
This is amazing. What kind of fuel do you use?
Seawater.
That sounds good. Wow.
Those pipes bring in water from the outside. Then it is fed into the distillation chamber where, by using electrolysis, we separate the basic elements of water.
Hydrogen and oxygen.
Correct. Some of the oxygen's pumped into the ship for us to breathe, and the rest, along with the hydrogen, is used to run the burners over there, under the boiler.
So the boiler creates steam?
Yes, and that runs the turbines to power the generators, which in turn create electricity to power the electromagnetic grid outside the submarine.
Alexander, I am amazed. Well, Jonathan, what do you think of the voyage so far?
I think it's great. I can't believe this submarine. Dad, can I ask you something?
Sure, son.
Well, Kirk asked me a question, and I didn't have an answer for it. Dad, here on Earth, we're seeing light from stars that are so far away that it would take millions of years to get here. If that's true, how could the universe only be thousands of years old, like the Bible indicates?
Well, you know, Jonathan, that's a great question. Now, could it be God not only created the stars on day four, but the very light already reaching Earth?
That could explain it. But wait, there's a problem. As we look at the light reaching Earth, we've seen stars millions of light years away burn out and go supernova. Mm-hmm. But if the light's only 6,000 years old, it means those stars never existed in the first place. It's like there's a false history in the starlight.
Great point, Jonathan. Now, let me illustrate with a similar example. Did Eve have hair when she was created?
I guess she would.
That's right. Did you know hair can be used to give general ideas on a person's nutritional intake? Now, looking at Eve's hair would give a history about Eve that never existed.
Just like the light from distant stars.
Yes. Hebrews 11:3 says, "Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear."
God created just by speaking it into existence. Ex nihilo, out of nothing.
Right. And think about it, son. To create something that didn't exist before, by very definition, is appearance of age. So when it comes to distant starlight or Eve's hair, we really shouldn't call it a false history.
I understand what you're saying, but I'm not so sure.
Well, okay now. Dr. Humphreys is a PhD physicist that worked for many years in Sandia National Laboratory. He has worked out a new cosmological model based on Einstein's theory of general relativity.
I think you've told me about this before.
I have. It has been proven that time moves slower in high gravity than in low gravity. Scientists have placed atomic clocks at different elevations and seen that they run at slightly different speeds. Dr. Humphreys has theorized that this may explain how millions of years may pass further out in the universe for each day here on Earth. Using this theory, he can mathematically explain how starlight could be here on the same day that stars were created on day four.
Is that the answer?
Well, maybe, son. It's a great theory, but is it really the way it happened? We just don't know for sure. That's why we must put our faith in the infallible Word of God and not in our fallible interpretations of science.
Okay, I only have a few minutes. Through this door, I should see the mini sub docking bay. Yeah, yes, here it is. I'm in the mini sub, and now I play the recorded instructions.
All right, Kirk. Follow the instructions closely. First, take off the panel marked directional control circuit.
Okay, here it goes.
Now, look for the red, yellow, and green cables.
There they are.
Disconnect each of the cables.
One, two, three.
Make sure you take careful note of where the cables were.
Oh,
after
no.
After that, take and plug the red cable into the spot
where
the green cable.
Wait, what am I doing?
Yellow in the spot,
this might
red,
hurt somebody.
And...
I don't know, I'm so confused.
Hello? Is somebody in there?
Oh no, the watchman's coming. I gotta get this back together. I hope I got it right.
Has Kirk sabotaged the sub? Will the creation response team be able to retrieve an underwater black smoker? To find out, join us next time for part two of Jonathan Park and the Journey to 1,000 Fathoms. You've been listening to the adventures of Jonathan Park. Although the story is fictitious, many of our adventures are based on real places, historical events, or scientific discoveries. To learn more about Jonathan Park and evidence for creation, please visit our website at jonathanpark.com. You'll also find additional resources that will help you see and understand how science is in complete agreement with God's Word. That's jonathanpark.com. Be sure to listen to the next album in the Voyage Beyond series as the Creation Response Team battles against a giant squid in part two of Jonathan Park and the journey to 1,000 fathoms.
Until next time, this is Dr. Kendall Park reminding you, this is our Father's world. God created it. We can explore it. So live the adventure.